message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad to have you joining us today as we look into the Word of God together. Colossians chapter number 1, there's something the Apostle Paul says that God especially wants you to know. Listen to what he says. Speaking about the church, he says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to youward, to fulfill the Word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." To whom? To the saints. God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friend, God desires for you and for me to understand the riches of the glory of the mystery revealed by Christ through Paul to us. Now, what is the mystery? God Almighty had a purpose to form the church, the body of Christ, of which believers today are a part. He kept that purpose secret from before the foundation of the world, didn't tell Adam, didn't tell Abraham, didn't tell Moses, didn't tell David, didn't tell Daniel, didn't tell Isaiah, didn't tell John the Baptist, didn't tell the 12 apostles, but rather waited until the time came to reveal it, and in order to reveal it, saved Saul of Tarsus, the leader of the world's rebellion against Christ at the time, and made Saul into Paul the Apostle and sent him out to proclaim this secret. Now you say, but wait a minute, God did tell Adam something, didn't He? He did tell Abraham something. He did tell Moses something. He did tell David something. He did tell Isaiah something. He did tell Daniel something. He did tell John the Baptist something. He did tell the 12 something. That's right. He told all those people what's called prophecy. That is, that which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. All of those men and all that ministry had to do with, but he also had something he kept secret since the world began. That's why he says in verse 25, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. This mystery is a realm of knowledge and understanding about something that God planned to do but didn't tell anybody. And what that plan and purpose was to form the church, the body of Christ. And God wants you to know about this mystery truth. He desires for you to know it so that you can appreciate the riches of the glory of this mystery, so that you can see how wealthy He has made you in His Son. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Among the Gentiles, He says, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the riches of the glory of what God is doing today is that He has put His Son into the church, the body of Christ, into you and me as members of the body of Christ. He's put His Son in us. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's the issue. And the glory of what God's doing as He forms the body of Christ is He's manifesting His Son's life in and through us. And it's Christ that lives in us. And His life is the issue. And His will is the issue. And His purpose is the issue. And what He's doing is the issue, not what we're doing. What He's done for us is the issue, not what we're doing for Him. And the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's all based upon Calvary. When Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins and when God raised Him from the dead to be the author of eternal life to those who believe. And so the glory of what God's doing today is He's not forming a religion like He did with Israel. He's not putting us under the law system and trying to do. What He's doing is He's forming a body of believers by His grace, putting His Son's life in us and manifesting His Son through us. That's why he goes on to say in verse 28, whom we preach Christ. Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25 says. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why do we do that? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, friend, the issue in the work of the ministry is the perfecting of believers. First, you have to become a believer, so you have to have the gospel preached to you. And then when you believe the gospel and trust Christ, then it's growing up. You see, when you get saved, that's not the end of the issue. For a lot of folks, getting saved is like, well, that's the end of the road. That's it. That's what you came from. No, that's the beginning. When you get into Christ, you're a new creature. That's the beginning of a new life. You come in as a babe in Christ, and then you're to grow up to perfection, to maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give pastors and Bible teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying, the building up, the growing up of the saints. The perfected saints are for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You want to build up the body of Christ and see it enlarged and build up? Then you have to go out and do the work of the ministry. But the work of the ministry can't successfully be done and can't properly be done except by the perfected saints. You see, as the saints grow and are perfect, as the Word of God saturates the life of a believer and he grows up in Christ, it produces, as the Word saturates, it produces growth. And growth is movement. Ministry just comes as a natural result of spiritual growth. So God has the pastor and the teacher for the perfecting of the saints. He wants to perfect you so that you can do the work of the work that God puts you in the body of Christ to do. Well, if Paul says that's the issue and the ministry is the perfecting of the saints, then the question is, how are the saints going to be perfected? We'll get two passages. Get Romans chapter number 16 in one hand and 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Folks, anytime you want to know how to do something, if the Bible tells you to do it, ask the Bible. If Paul tells you to rightly divide the word of truth, then you ought to let Paul tell you how to do it. If Paul tells you that we're to be perfected saints, then the logical thing is, say, Paul, how am I supposed to be perfected? Don't go try to develop it on your own. Don't run down to the bookstore and buy a bunch of books by Dr. This and Dr. That. Go find out in God's Word. You know, it would be comical if it wasn't so tragic. The Bible is the only book in all the world that people buy other books about it in order to understand it. The average person, when they want to study the Bible, what do? They go buy a commentary, and they study the commentary about the Bible. Now, if I went down to the bookstore and I bought a cookbook, and I brought that cookbook home and I wanted to learn how to cook, I wouldn't bring that cookbook home and say, man, that's a beautiful cookbook. I think I'm going to go get me another cookbook to tell me how to understand this cookbook. You know what I'd do? I'd read the cookbook. To understand the Bible, read the Bible. That's my point. If you want to understand the Bible, get in the Bible. Quit reading all them books about the Bible and studying all the books about the Bible. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading a book or studying a book. The point is, though, if you want to understand the Bible, study the Bible. We had a guy come to our church one time a couple of years ago. In fact, he attends our church regularly now. But first time he ever came, he came a couple of weeks, and one of the men in our assembly went and visited him. And he said, what books does the pastor read to understand the Bible so much? What books does the pastor read so he understands so much about the Bible? And our brother said, well, he reads the Bible. And the guy said, I don't know, but what books does he read? And this guy had books on books. He got hundreds of Bible study books, theology books, commentary. I mean, house full of them. Made bookshelves all over his family room, all his living room, and all over in his bedroom. And the man from our assembly told him, he said, well, he just reads the Bible. And, you know, it took this guy about 6 months to understand that. And one day he came to him and he said, you know, old brother so-and-so told me that you guys just read the Bible. And it's finally dawned on me, he meant you just read the Bible, not books about the Bible. That's it. That's it. I hope you'll do that. If you want to understand what it is to be a perfected saint, let the Bible teach you. Now, last week we looked at Romans chapter 16, and I tried to show you how that the Apostle Paul lays out a design in Romans 16 of doctrinal progression, a form of sound words, and a blueprint whereby you can grow to maturity. An edifice is a building. And there, he desires you to build an edifice of doctrine in your soul. But if you're going to build a building, you need a blueprint. You need to build the right things in the right places. For example, if you come, the way they build houses nowadays, you've seen them, the prefab houses, they'll bring a big truckload of boxes and material, and they'll lay it out on the lot, not far from where I live. I watched the whole a subdivision of townhouses be built, and literally they would ride up in the morning with a flatbed truck, take a crane, and unload these packages onto the ground. And I would go by them, go to the office, come back to my house in the evening, and there'd be a house sitting there. And what they did is they would have all this stuff prefabbed, bring it up there, and then they would assemble it there. They'd put the foundation in, then they'd put the walls up, then they'd put, and they would, what we used to call in the building, black it in, get it all up, and with the top on it, the roof on it, and the decking on it, and they'd do all that in one day, and it was amazing. Watch that thing go up, you know. But you know, when you do that, there are certain things you put in certain places. A guy shows up on the job today, and he says, "Well, boy, you know, we got all the house here, all of it's here on the lot, but we've got to assemble it. I feel like nailing shingles today." And he goes over and he opens up a square of shingles and he gets the shingles out and he goes out in the front yard and he starts tacking those things down to the, and he gets his chalk line, he gets his equipment, and he puts them in a straight row and he puts the next one up and measures it and gets his hammer and does it all right. And he lays those shingles across the front lawn on the grass in perfect order. Now, is that, you know, I say that to you know that's not going to do any good. You don't put shingles on the ground. Where do you put shingles? On the roof. If they're going to be of any value, all he's doing is wasting his time and energy. Same way with you and me. A lot of folks have all this doctrine. They got all the doctrine loaded up on the lot there, but they don't have it put together according to the design that God designed. They got shingles nailed over here and a 2x4 stuck up by the tree over there and some cement mixed over here, but they haven't put it together according to the design, and the consequence is there's absolute confusion and bedlam, and rather than having a stable edifice of doctrine in which they can live and honor and glorify God in the details of their life, there's only confusion. You need the blueprint to put it together, the pattern, the design. Romans 16, 25, "Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel." The foundation is Paul's gospel, my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The next issue is the preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That is the issue of being oriented first to his grace, and what God's grace has accomplished for us in Christ, how that at Calvary, through the cross of Calvary, he has thoroughly and completely and totally equipped you to live in time on planet Earth for his glory as a member of the body of Christ. He's justified you completely and totally in his Son. He's put his life in you, set you free from sin, set you free from the law, put his power and his life and his Spirit in you. He's made you a new creature in Christ, and he's put you in a sonship status. And that issue of my gospel, the dispensational distinctions and the doctrines of grace, being grace-oriented. Then there's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's being oriented toward the program that you're a part of. Listen, when God saved you, he didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. God Almighty is forming a body of believers today that he's going to use throughout all the ages of eternity future to do some very specific things. You've been made a part of a heavenly group of people, a heavenly body of believers, and God is going to use the church, the body of Christ, in the ages to come to restore his authority in all the heavenly domain for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand his eternal purpose today and the part we have in it. And we need to be oriented to that. And then over here, he puts the roof on in Thessalonians when he talks about the future up here and how We need to be related, we need to be oriented to the future and how all of this fits into the prophetic program. How that there's one house of God, two branches, Israel and the body, law and grace, prophecy and mystery, but there's this one eternal purpose that God has in His Son that in the dispensation of the fullness of time is going to be accomplished. And we need to understand how these things relate together. And so you have this design. You start off with my gospel, be oriented to grace and the cross. Most believers never get through the issue of just the issue of forgiveness of their sins and justification and so forth. Get oriented there. Then grow up, then move up into the orientation, into the program, and then see how it fits the rest of the Word of God. That design, that order of assimilating the doctrine into your understanding builds the capacity for perfection in the believer. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to see and understand how that the Word of God itself is laid out in such a way in Paul's epistles so as to accomplish this for you. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice, the Word of God is given that the man of God may be perfect. If you're going to have spiritual perfection, spiritual maturity, if you're going to be equipped, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, if you're going to have in your soul the capacity to serve God and do the good works that He put you in the body of Christ to do, it's going to come to you through the Word of God. It isn't going to come through liturgy. It isn't going to come through scholarship. It isn't going to come through performing. It isn't going to come through ceremonies. It isn't going to come through you devising a new way to do your own thing and some religious system. It's going to come to you through the Word of God rightly divided, the Word of God built up into your soul according to the divine design for your edification revealed in Paul's epistles. Now that being the case, you notice that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Maybe I'll put it, I'm going to change this just a little bit. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Doctrine, reproof, and correction are the three elements that are necessary in order to have instruction in righteousness. If you're going to be taught in righteousness, you have to have doctrine, the categorical teaching of God's Word, reproof. That is to be, doctrine is the faith, it's the teaching of the truth. Reproof, that is taking someone's conduct, their behavior, and adjusting it to match the truth. If your conduct isn't and your behavior isn't matching the doctrine, then you get reproof. Correction has to do with your thinking. It has to do with your believing not matching the doctrine. Now, Paul's epistles are laid out in this design of doctrine, reproof, and correction. The first one of Paul's epistles is the book of Romans. The book of Romans will match this thing right here, my gospel. The book of Romans is a doctrine about the cross. What the book of Romans does is it explains for you and me what happened at the cross of Calvary, its basic doctrine about what was accomplished at the cross of Calvary for you and for me, how that Jesus Christ made an absolute, complete, and total provision by God's grace, and the gospel of the grace of God is delineated in the book of Romans. The greatest exposition on the cross work of Jesus Christ anywhere in Scripture is the book of Romans. Now, after Romans comes Corinthians, two Corinthian epistles. The Corinthians are justified by faith like the book of Romans teaches, but they aren't living like they're justified by faith. They're being reproved about bad behavior. They weren't living like justified people who they were. They were saints, they were justified, but their conduct didn't demonstrate it. The life of Jesus Christ was not living through them, and so He reproves them about bad behavior in relation to the doctrine about the cross taught in Romans. Then the book of Galatians. Galatians is called the second book of the Reformation. In the book of Galatians, they are being corrected because they have departed from the truth of justification by grace through faith alone. They've added the law program. They've have gone back and become undispensational, added the law to it. Romans, you're justified by faith. Galatians, you stay justified by faith. And these books take the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on it and expound it and deal with the errors in behavior and in belief that will be associated with the doctrine found in Romans. Now, when you come to the next epistle, it's the epistle of the Ephesians. And Ephesians, once again, is a book of doctrine. Only this time, you're going to move from the basic grace orientation up in here to the issues of the church, the body of Christ. So Ephesians deals with the issue of the church, the body of Christ, the agency that God is forming through the finished work of Christ in this age. The book of Philippians deals with bad behavior. The Ephesians deals with the one body over which Christ is the head. The Philippians weren't holding to that one body. They were violating the unity and the oneness of the body. And so he holds up the Lord Jesus Christ in every chapter in Philippians as being the practical means whereby the unity of the faith could be accomplished. God created the unity, and the way the unity functions in our behavior is by making Jesus Christ and His body and what He's doing the issue. Colossians is a book where the doctrine, they're not holding the head. The Philippians have bad behavior. They're not behaving like one body in Christ. The Colossians aren't holding the head of the body. And so you have Colossians is a book of reproof about some bad behavior in relationship to the doctrine taught up here in the book of Ephesians. Now, after the Colossians comes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And those two books deal with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1st Thessalonians deals with the rapture. Every chapter ends talking about the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, to go to be with Him. 2nd Thessalonians deals with the return of Christ back to the earth and our relationship to it. Now you're up here. You've laid the foundation, Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. You've learned to live in the agency, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And now you're seeing the relationship and the future and what's going to happen for the body of Christ in the ages to come in relationship to the coming of the Lord. Now look at here. When Jesus Christ comes for you and you're caught up to be with Him and you've got your glorified body, you aren't going to need any more reproof and correction because there isn't going to be any more bad behavior. And there isn't going to be any more bad thinking because you're going to have a glorified body and the absolute perfect mind of Christ. And so there aren't any reproof and correction epistles after Thessalonians. It's interesting. Thessalonians is one of the very first, if not the first, epistle he wrote. But the chronological order of the epistles is laid out according to the divine design for edification over here, as it is demonstrated in Ephesians chapter 3, where the scripture is given for doctrine, reproof, correction. Romans, doctrine. Corinthians, reproof. Galatians, corrections. Ephesians is doctrine again. The progressive doctrine, moving up into the agency, the church, the body of Christ. Philippians is reproof. Colossians is correction. Thessalonians, we move again into the next area of doctrine. And then there's no reproof and correction because after the rapture, there isn't any need for it. Then over here, you have, after that, you have Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And these have to do with the congregation. These epistles have to do with taking this design and living, having this design live and function in ministry on planet Earth right now. And these are handbooks that describe how believers, how this doctrine functions in the congregations in the work of the ministry. Now, spiritual maturity in the dispensation of grace is identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as being manifest by faith, hope, and charity. Charity is love and action. Those three things are the way spiritual maturity in the dispensation of grace is manifested. In Romans to Galatians, you have faith looking back and resting in the cross of Calvary. In Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, you have love in action, charity, looking up to what God has provided for you and He's blessed you with in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and you're complete in Him. In Thessalonians, you have our hope, looking forward to the future out there. You have faith, charity, hope. Faith, love, and hope. Looking around and seeing. Faith, looking back to the cross, love, looking up to what God's accomplished for us in Christ and the agency and who we are in Him, and hope, looking to the future, to His coming. And then over here, we have in the congregation, you have fellowship in the gospel, the work of the ministry. Fellowship for believers is not sitting around eating pumpkin pie and drinking Dr. Pepper and talking over how the week went and talking about the ball game and all that. Fellowship for believers, it's fellowship in the gospel, fellowship in the work of the ministry. Real fellowship is like all these folks that are here tonight putting this television program together and working it together and distributing it out around the country to stations like you're seeing it on. That's the work, the fellowship of the ministry. The work of the ministry is accomplished over here after the doctrine, reproof, and correction of Romans through Thessalonians becomes resident in your soul, so that God Almighty has, through His Word, built into your soul a capacity to understand and the mind of Christ and to serve Him based on who you are in Christ. You see, God's Word works in you that believe. It's not mysticism and it's not by accident. There is a design, a doctrinal design that you go through. And folks, God wants you to have it so much that He put the books together in your Bible so that all you had to do was read them and it would happen to you even if you didn't know about it. That's how much God desires your godly edification. You're being built up according to the program He has in effect today. That's why we have this program. That's why we offer you literature and Bible study tapes and all the rest. We want you to be built up in the faith, rooted and grounded in Him. Get your pencil and piece of paper. Dan's going to come in a moment and give you our address and phone number. You write us, call us. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of a Bible study cassette tape that'll help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God, and send you some literature to help you to study the Word of God, be able to stand on your own feet for yourself. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Sound Words. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 212. That's tape offer number 212. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.